Hey there, I am so excited to let you know that my upcoming book, Building Your Money Machine, is available for pre-order. Now, you might say, why do I want a pre-order book that I'm not going to get until June 11th, 2024, when it comes out? Here's why. First off, it's going to get you access to a whole handful of wealth resources that you can't get anywhere else. They will go away. These are special resources, trainings and tools and templates that allow you to implement them into your life, to get financial freedom started in your life. The whole idea behind this book is to light the path to financial freedom so you get the chance to live a life of choice, not a life of need. To be able to choose what you do, when you want to do it, with whom you want to do it with. And yet we seem to not want to talk about financial freedom or money or wealth because we demonize it. But the fact is that it's just a tool. And if we use the tool correctly, we have a richer lifestyle, but we have a deeper impact. People's lives are better. And I want to have that conversation. And I want to have it frankly. I want to have it openly. I want to give you the step-by-step process to get yourself the financial freedom. And that's what this book does for you. It's about getting your money to work harder for you than you did for it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to yourmoneymachinebook.com. Check out the wealth resources that you get for free, but they're going to expire. So you need to pre-order the book today, put your information in, and then we'll make sure that we get you the resources to get you on the road and on the path to financial freedom. And until I get a chance to see you on the road or see you on that path, always, always strive to live a life that outlives you. See you soon. Hey there, you trying to figure out how do you price your services or your products? What's the value out there? Well, in this episode, we're going to answer that question. We're going to talk about how do you get paid your worth? And this one's a little special one because I actually did this presentation live, but I want to share it with you because of the response that we got. So stay tuned for this episode. Let's figure out how do you get your pricing right, how do you get your value right, and how you get paid what you're worth. This is the Affluent Entrepreneur Show for entrepreneurs that want to operate at a high level and achieve financial liberation. I'm your host, Mel Abraham, and I'll be sharing with you what it takes to create success beyond wealth so you can have a richer, more fulfilling lifestyle. In this show, you'll learn how business and money intersect so you can scale your business, scale your money, and scale your life while creating a deeper impact and living with complete freedom. Because that's what it really means to be an affluent entrepreneur. Are you looking to figure out this whole money game? Well, I got news for you. I want to invite you to my 7-day money plan workshop, my money plan challenge. Okay. This is totally free. And this is where we get a chance. I wanted to put something together to help everyone set a solid foundation. Here's the thing. If we're truly going to change our financial destiny, we need to have a rock solid, unshakable financial foundation. And so join me for 7 days and we're going to walk through everything from figuring out the money mind stuff to understanding some numbers, understanding what your target is, structuring, you know, the plan, figuring out how to deal with your debt. What do you do first? How do you ratchet your income? We're going to take one element of each thing on each day, work it through in an action guide and workbook with tools and tactics to make it happen. And so all you got to do is go to themoneyplanchallenge.com, sign up for free, and go through the training. This is my gift to you for being on this journey with me. And hopefully what we do in that process is we set you on a solid foundation. So as we have more and more conversations, we can change your financial trajectory and destiny together. And I look forward to seeing you there. Cheers. Hey, so good to have you all here. This is a special training that are just a special sessions I decided to do because of some questions that were coming in to the Affluent Entrepreneur group, my private group. Here's the thing. This idea of pricing is a question that comes up a lot. I with the consulting and the work that I do with people, to one, to help them figure out their finances, figure out their money, but also understanding what it takes to build wealth. Listen, one of the things that we do, one of the three pillars we talked about in the live training is the generate pillar. There's three pillars to creating affluence and freedom in your life. And the first one is the generate pillar, where we're trying to scale, if you will. And one of the ways to scale our income, believe it or not, that people resist is raising our prices. The interesting thing is that the raising of the prices is more a perception in your mind than an impact on the customer, depending on how you raise it. So here's this idea about pricing. Now, too often we think about pricing and we start asking ourselves the question of, you know, how should I price? What, you know, now I came from a commoditized industry. As a CPA, we got into the game, this whole idea of swapping hours for dollars. So we were selling time. And there's a couple things that we need to realize is that time is finite. I only have so much. And I probably can't scale my hourly rates too much without doing some things. My industry, the legal industry, so many industries are used to this. Well, what's your hourly rate? What's your hourly rate? I don't answer that question unless I absolutely have to, because that starts to reduce the conversation to a commodity-based conversation. And I never want to be in a commodity environment. I hope this makes sense. I hope you're sitting there going, I don't want to be seen as a bean or a coffee bean or a commodity, because commodities are price sensitive. And if you're seen as a commodity, you're price sensitive. Yes. So well, hopefully I'm going to change that. Hopefully I'm going to give you a little perspective. And I'm not going to say that it's easy, because your customers, your markets are probably trained to ask for, well, what's your hourly rate? People come to me, I still do valuations, I still do consulting, I still do those kinds of projects when it's the right fit, when it's the right project. But I charge them, I'm not the cheapest guy in town, let's face it, but I don't need to be the cheapest guy in town. I choose not to be. And here's the interesting thing when you get this, your pricing is positioning and marketing for you. See, if marketing is meant to raise the awareness of the people that we want to serve, it's also meant to filter out the people we choose not to serve. And so your pricing is one aspect of your positioning. And we can choose to be the Walmart, and there's nothing wrong with Walmart, okay? But we can choose to be the Walmart of our industry. Or we can choose to be the Nordstrom of our industry, to be the Neiman Marcus, to be the Ritz. When someone goes to the Ritz to stay, a Four Seasons to stay, they expect to pay more, but they also expect to get more. See, so it's important for us to start to think about what we do. Here's the thing, and I'm going to draw a circle. So I just want you to understand something. I'm going to cut the circle in half. That there's two sides to this coin of what are we doing here as far as pricing goes. And one side of this is this, is value, okay? The other side of it isn't price. The other side of it is affordability, okay? So there's two sides to this thing. Here's the thing. The value side of that circle, that's your responsibility. The affordability side of that circle, that's your client's responsibility, your customer's responsibility. And when we can get the affordability and the value to coincide, to coexist, to be at the same place at the same time, that's where the deal is done. Okay? That's where the deal is done. And so what we need to think about, and I remember this happening with me, I was in a meeting with one of the top Beverly Hills attorneys on a case. And he brought me the client. He brought me the referral. I'm sitting in the meeting and we're talking about things. And then the client puts the magic question on the table. How much is this going to cost me, Mel? And I hemmed and hawed. Because I had to go into sales mode. At least I thought I did. And so I hemmed and hawed. I sat back and then I spit it out. And I go, there's this. Oh, okay. And they walked out. And the attorney looked at me and said, if you ever hem and haw about your fees ever again, I will never bring a client to you again. And he said, you need to understand something. I think you all need to understand something. We all need to understand something. We need to embrace this. He said, you have a specific set of skills. You bring a value to the market. You bring solutions to someone. And you deserve to get paid for what you bring, that value. And he said, and so what you need to do, he says, is you stand there, you tell them your fees, and it's not your problem. The hemming and hawing, the reason you hemmed and hawed about your fees was because you thought you were the one that had to deal with the fees. He says, no, that's the client's responsibility. He says, you put it on the table and you sit there quietly and you let them deal with the fees. And so that hit me. And that's from then on, I did it. And this is the thing to think about is that when we start to look at things too often, when we get into this sales mode, okay, when we get into the sales mode, we feel like we need to convince the market to buy from us. Convince the market that we have something valuable. Convincing is the weakest place to come from when it comes to negotiating or selling. You want to come from conviction. And the only way you come from conviction is believing in what you offer and the value of the solution, the transformation that you have. And so this becomes really important for us that when you are in a sales conversation, when you're in a client conversation, do you feel like you're standing in the conviction, the belief to your core that what you're offering has value, that what you're offering has value. So I want to walk through a couple of different frameworks or models for you to start to think about this, because I believe the hourly model I don't like. And I have no qualms saying it. I have said it over and over again. Swapping hours for dollars is probably one of the worst business models in my book, because I'm limited on the number of hours and I'm likely limited on the hourly rate I can charge, okay? And so to me, it smacks of commodity pricing, and it is something that the market or the world is used to asking what your hourly rate is. But your pricing really is made up of three things that make up your pricing. And the first is the solution you provide. What is the solution you have? What problem are you solving? When someone comes to me and they have a problem, they're going into litigation, they have a tax situation, they want to sell the company, they have a problem with the finances, and I have the solution to that pain. Let's say they have a situation where, let's just talk about tax for a second, that the IRS is coming after them for $1 million. And I can go in and get that $1 million down to $100,000. It may take me an hour. If I charge my hourly rate, they might pay me $1,000, $2,000. But what was the value? I just saved them $900,000. What's the value of that? Do you think that the customer, the client, would be open to paying $100,000 to save $900? See, we get so caught up in not understanding the solution that we provide at the value of what it is. So solution is connected to the valuation of the solution. let's face it. Okay, today I go back to the doctors for another scope, just a checkup. Okay, but is there anxiety that I hear the words, "Oh my gosh, it's back"? Absolutely. I tell my wife. She said, "I've never been a defendant in like a criminal case or anything like that, but I feel like it." What that feels like when you go into the doctor's office for that scan, for that scope, and they start to look, I said, I feel like the defendant when the bailiff comes out and says, the jury's back. They've reached a verdict. Come on in. It's just, but here's my point with this is that when I got diagnosed, do you think that I was concerned about pricing or was I concerned about solving? See, when the level of pain they have supersedes their perception of cost, it changes everything. So the one aspect is this whole idea of making sure that you understand what the solution is that you offer and how you value that solution, how it's valued in the marketplace. The second part of this is position, okay? Position. And so if we look at it this way, this is solution and valuation. This is position. Okay. What do I mean by this? Positioning. Let me rephrase it. And your positioning is both in actuality and by perception. By perception. And when we talk about this, here's the way that this works. What are you doing in your marketplace with your business, with your work, that is creating a level of positioning in the industry that puts you above the rest? You're going to see where this comes back to pricing. Where are you placed in the market? Because positioning supersedes all your marketing, all your sales tactics, all of that. Fact of the matter is positioning is when people seek you out. See, it turns you from the hunter to the hunted. From the seeker to the sought after. Let me tell you how positioning works. My valuation and consulting work that I've done, I started this decades ago. I started it in 1989. Okay, that's how old I am. I'm well preserved. So 1989, I started it. And I did all my work. All my marketing was to create positioning in the marketplace. No one wanted to hire me at the beginning because I had no experience. And they said, "We can't hire you. You had no experience." So what did I do? I went out. I started speaking. I started writing. We didn't have social media. I mean, we're talking about 1990. We didn't have social media. We didn't have the internet the way that we do today. We didn't have the technology. So I had to do it the old fashioned way. I was networking. I was speaking. I was writing. I was workshopping. I was doing all these different things, but I was letting the world know that I was doing it. So I was doing press releases and articles, and all of a sudden the world sat up and took notice. Now, mind you, I still didn't have experience, but the perception was that I did. Here's what happens. So I had a firm and I had partners, traditional accounting firm. I was doing the valuation consulting on the side. My partners at the time were charging $150 an hour. Because of the perception that was created, I was charging $350 an hour back then. Huge. When we create the perception of value, we have to back it up with the actualization of results. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay. But that's what I mean by positioning. How are you positioned in the marketplace? So if you're starting to struggle with what your pricing is, sometimes we think we have a pricing issue when we might have a positioning issue. How are you positioning yourself? How are you doing? Who are we hanging out with? Who are we going to? What are the markets that we're dealing with? And the third piece, and this is where I think many of us struggle, including myself. I struggle in this, and that is if the first leg of this is solution, the second leg is position, the third is expression. In other words, how good are you at articulating your value? How good are you at articulating your value? Because this is where most of us have a problem. This is why I was hemming and hawing. I didn't know how to express it. I didn't know how to say it. But when we look at it and say, I believe in my value, I'm going to put it out there. And some simply won't take it on because affordability or
we didn't express the value enough. So the better we get at expressing the value of the solutions that we provide and why we're distinct in the positioning that we have, the easier it is to shift and command higher fees. And the easier it is to sit back and say, I don't do the hourly stuff because it doesn't work for me. See, when we look at this, I think that there's some questions that were specific questions. I want to make sure that I try to hit on them and everything. Is that often people are concerned with saying, well, if I charge a set fee, what happens is that they typically will ask for more. And there's this thing called scope creep. Ah. So that's not a pricing issue. That's not even a project management issue. That is a project scoping issue. That is a articulation issue that needs to be dealt with upfront. And so if you think about it this way, what ends up happening is that you end up with this situation. How I look at it is in two concentric circles. And this is something that I learned from a dear friend of mine, Simon Bowen, in that in the center circle, what you end up with is understanding. So, and what I would do with clients is I literally would draw this out for them. And so in the center circle is the must-haves. And I literally would list out, what are the must-haves? The 3, 5. Now, mind you, a lot of the customers and clients will list out a whole bunch. Now, here's the thing. I went through this because we just finished a remodel on the house. And you know, these contractors, they come in and they go, we can do anything. We can do whatever you want. All right. It just costs. So they'll do whatever I want. It's just a matter of how much I'm willing to pay. And so you need to sort out the must-haves. And then the outer circle is all about the nice-to-haves. This is the nice-to-haves. And so I get them to list out what are the nice-to-haves. And I want to get really clear. This is before we ever get the job or project, when we're finalizing it. If you're doing project pricing, and I do this every time we do this, is a walkthrough of something like this. And so what we need to look at is what are the must-haves and what are the nice-to-haves? The balance between the nice-to-haves and the must-haves is where your fees, your pricing comes in. And if they want lower pricing, then some things have to move from the must-haves to the nice-to-haves, and it's up to them. Now, there is another segment on the outside of this, and that's the don't needs, okay? What don't they need? Getting really clear on what they don't need, because too often we start offering stuff that they don't need, and if they don't need it, they don't see the value, and it doesn't help the deal any, and it doesn't help increase the value, and it doesn't help you in your pricing. Hopefully that starts to make sense. But the key here is this. If they turn around and say, well, you turn around and say, this project is going to cost $10,000 based on what you just listed out here. And they go, oh, I don't know if we can afford that. Now we're back to affordability. Now affordability could be a product of cash flow. In other words, they just don't have the cash, which means that they may not be the client for you. Or it could also be a product of timing. I just don't have the cash now. Oh, okay. When? But if they turn around and say, I can't do it for $10,000, I said, that's fine. Which one of the must-haves do you want to move to a nice-to-have? And we can reduce the fee. See, they get a chance to define it. But by going through this exercise, you don't get into scope creep. And you sit back and say, hey, this is what we agreed on. And if they want more, that's fine. It moves it back to the must-haves and price goes up. But we need to be clear. We need to be direct about it. And we need to present it effectively. There are four levels or four categories of the way I see pricing, okay? And I'm gonna draw a couple of more models for you, and then I'm gonna kind of give you a formula for how I try to do pricing. Hopefully this is helping as we go. And so this next thing is how I want you to start to think about this whole idea of pricing. And so down on the bottom, down at the far left, okay, what I would call the red zone, okay, and this is coming from the standpoint of your customers, okay? From the standpoint of your customers. This is where they're looking at your solution and they're saying, oh my God. But it's not a good oh my God, because they're looking at it and going, that's dirt cheap. What is that? Okay, this is the perception, everything. This is where I think one of the first categories is, this is time and materials. That's time and materials fees. How many hours does it take and what are the expenses? So it's cost plus, it's time and materials. There's a limitation on the valuation of your services when you do it that way. The next stage for most of them is this yellow stage, okay? And this is where they look at it and they go, huh, okay, it's a little more expensive. This is where you look at it, and what they typically are doing is, this is what I call customer pricing. In other words, they're looking at it through their own eyes and saying, what would I like? Okay. It's funny. Someone comes to me, when I'm negotiating, they'll say, how much would you like to pay? Well, that's a great question. Actually, I'd like to pay nothing. And so if we can resolve it at that, then we've got a deal. It's a crazy question to even ask. It's an inane question to ask. How much do we want to pay? The buyer wants to pay as little as possible. You got to ask the question, how much do you want to pay? No. Okay. So I laugh when someone does it. And that's why I sit back and go, hey, I want to pay zippo, zero, nothing. But customer pricing is when you are putting the pricing in the customer's hands, where they dictate to you what they want to pay. That's might as well open up a store, open up the doors, no price tags, bring it to the register, pay what you want. The third category that I see is in the light green section. And this is where they start to They sit back and they'll literally say, because it's a bit more expensive, but what that is competitor pricing. In other words, you're actually looking at your competitors to decide what the value of what you offer is. But what does the competitors charge have anything to do with the value of your solution? It doesn't. So it doesn't matter to me that a competitor is charging $200, $2,000, $200,000. What is the value of what you provide, and price it accordingly? Now, in the dark green zone, and this is where I want a lot of us to play, is where they look at this and go, wow. Now, they say wow for two reasons. One, it is the most expensive. But two, it's pricing based on positioning. It's pricing based on positioning. Think about this. The first doctor I saw that actually diagnosed the cancer, my wife and I walked out of that office because this was on a Thursday. He wanted to do surgery immediately on Monday. But mind you, he sat on a CT scan for 11 days where he saw the tumor and he didn't even call. He waited 11 days until I showed up instead of saying, and then made an emergency, and we weren't comfortable with him. So we sat in the car in the parking lot. And she, because she's been in the medical field, she called her colleagues and said, who's the best urologist? Who's the best person we go to? And this doctor's name came up three times. We called his office, and his gal there says, by chance, we actually have an opening tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Positioning makes you sought out. I didn't ask. What, do you take my insurance? I didn't ask. So here's the thing, when you look at this bell curve, here's what I want you to understand is that what you want to do is give the wow experience, the dark green experience, and give it where they look at it and they say, well, wait a second, if you're way up on that side of the curve, this is going to be really expensive. But what happens if you turn around and say, well, I get that, and there's a reason for it. But what if I could give you the same wow experience at a pricing? At the upper end of what the competitors are doing. It puts you on the threshold, on the edge, or at the lower end of the dark green. Now, all of a sudden, they saw the value. They saw, oh my gosh, it's more expensive. And you bring it back down a little bit and say, I can give it to you here. And the way you do this, the way you give them the wow experience, is you make sure you nail every single one of their must-haves, and then throw in a couple of the nice to haves. Now they have a wow experience. Now things shift for them. Now they see it as valuable. The other thing to think about when you talk about pricing is I want to have this conversation, and this will be the last model I draw. But I think that this becomes an issue, and then I'm going to give you the formula that I use when we start to look at pricing. So here's the thing. You can, let's say that you have something that's costly, and I look at it and I will have this conversation with people. And the problem is too many people get caught up on this idea of price versus cost. Now, so here's the thing. If I said to you, okay, to work with me is $10,000. Okay. $10,000. Okay. It's $10,000 to work with me. Okay. And you look at it and you go, and I would literally say this to the customer. I said, so the price is $10,000. How do you feel about that? Now, mind you, they have no context. Your pricing only matters when it's in the context of value. Watch what happens. And they go, well, that, I don't know, because they don't have context. So they sit back, it seems a little high. All right. So let me ask you something. Which is more important to you, price or cost? And at that point, their brain will fry. You're going to look at it and go, well, what do you mean price or cost? I don't understand the difference. Oh, okay. Let me explain the difference to you. Because right now you're looking at price. But if I told you that in order to work with me, it either costs or use the term investment, okay, is $10,000. But most people that work with me, they end up making an additional $100,000. So now how do you feel about the $10,000? So now they have to equate it to what we call ROI, return on investment. See, our conversations need to be value-based conversations. And in order to be value-based conversations, they need to be based upon the return on investment, the context of value versus price or cost. Now, here's where we look at it. See, because here's the other thing. And so now they look at it and they say, oh, the question now becomes one of the certainty of getting the $100,000. Because we all know that if you made an investment of $2,000, $10,000, whatever it is, and you knew on the other side of that, you were going to make multiples of that, you would do that all day long, wouldn't you? But here's the thing. $10,000 isn't the true cost, is it? Now they look at it and go, what are you talking about? Because there is another cost. And this other cost is the $100,000 that you don't get if you choose not to work with me. That's called COI. That's the cost of inaction. So now the question really is, which one are you more comfortable with? The $10,000 cost or the $100,000 cost? Because that's the true question. So when we have a conversation in the context of value, we can move away from the hourly rates. We can move away from this pricing discussion. We can spend the time having a dialogue about the things that will make a difference in their lives, because that's what they're buying. It's the solution. But when we're offering hours, they don't see the solution and they don't see the value of the solution. We offer solutions and we need to frame them in the structure of ROI versus COI to make that happen. Price always in the context of value. Hopefully this makes sense. All right, let me give you a formula that I think we can work from. When someone comes to me and says, well, what are you going to charge? I go through a formula in my head. I want to understand a couple things. I want to understand, one, what are the hard costs? In other words, do I have to put anything out of pocket? Labor, graphics, whatever it is. So what are the hard costs? I take all those hard costs and I add to it my desired margin. Now, we had a rule at the firm when I had the firm that we always multiplied our rates. Let's say I was paying someone $100 an hour to work for me. We would bill them out at 3.6 to 4 times that. So we would bill them out at $360 to $400 an hour. So we knew that we had this margin built in. But there's another aspect that most of us never even think about, and that is this aspect of lifestyle impact. That gives you where you want to price things at. Let me give you an example. My speaking fee is $25,000 base.
and I get hired for it. But if you're asking me to get on a plane, to leave my wife, to leave my little Buddha who is out there sleeping, to leave my family, to brave the airports, there's a lifestyle impact to that. I'm going to bring the value. I'm going to perform. I'm going to be there fully vested in your event and do the things that will make a difference in the event. But in order to get me there, there's this threshold. And that's subjective. That's up to you. And your lifestyle impact variable in this equation could go up and down. You might have a newborn and you say, I'm not leaving my newborn. Cool. Just understand that. But too often, we want to look at just the hard numbers and we never look at what's the impact on our lifestyle? What's the impact on our relationships? What's the impact on that? That's a cost. That's a true cost. And then once we're clear on the hard cost plus the desired margin plus the lifestyle impact, we can come up with a pricing that makes sense, that we'll feel good about, that will get us in the game. Then the job is now for us to articulate that that pricing in the context of value, the transformation. And when we're successful at doing that, we stand in the conviction of it, then the only thing left is for them to figure out the affordability of it. And now pricing doesn't become an issue anymore. Hope this makes sense. So this was kind of the way I look at pricing. And, you know, I know some of the questions that have come in, you know, had to do with, well, what happens, you know, if I feel like my margins aren't high enough? Well, we need to examine how you're pricing your services. Are you competitor pricing, customer pricing, or are you value pricing? Are you positioning pricing? Are you time and materials pricing? Do you have the conviction of the value and the transformation that you're providing? I want to move you away from commodities. Y'all are valuable. Y'all are providing solutions to someone's problem, and people will pay for that. And you deserve to get paid for that. And it's not about the money. It's about the value transaction that is in play between two parties. We always price in the context of value, not in the context of cost. Hopefully this makes sense to you. So if you're deciding, if you're looking at things and you're saying, and even in your world, how often do you look at things and say, oh, that costs a lot? What happens if you now look at it and say, but what do I gain from it? If I decided to take on a coach and this coach is charging $25,000 a year and you kind of go, well, that's $2,000 a month. Oh my God, you know, but wait a second. If this coach could help you turn that $25,000 investment into $100,000, isn't it worth it? See, too often we still look at the price tag ourselves. So we need to practice what we preach. We need to look at it and say, what do I get from making this investment in whatever it is? What is my return on investment? Some of it might just simply be joy. My wife and I travel, and we love to travel, and we love to travel a certain way. And there is the currency is joy. It's not money. But instead of just looking at a price tag, it's time we look at the return we get from that price tag. If we're asking our customers to do that, we should step into that role too. Okay. I hope this helps. I hope this helps you start to move away from commodity pricing, start to value the things that you provide. So we can, in the construct of the affluence blueprint and the generate pillar, we can start to scale your cash flow. Because when we scale your cash flow, we have the vehicle to start funding our money machine to give you the financial freedom you deserve and you desire. And then we just got to insulate it to make sure that no one can take it away. Okay. So here's the thing. If you have not, and then focus on how you are articulating the value. If you're just putting a price sheet up there for, I've got some hairstyles, and I'm just putting a price sheet up there, and it's just hairstyle, this and that. How can you create an experience that ups the level of value? Let's face it. We go to the Ritz. Okay. Or we go to the Four Seasons. Or we have our favorite hotel in London, the Grosvenor House. We go there because of the experience. The Grosvenor House has a specific smell when you walk in. But let's face it. A hotel is a hotel. And as long as it's clean and it's got a bed and all that stuff, it serves the utility of a hotel, a place to sleep. But the Grosvenor House isn't selling a place to sleep. They're selling an experience. And so when we do that, yeah, it's a wonderful hotel and they know us there.
and they treat us well. And they, you know, so we walked in, they knew that it was our 10-year anniversary when we were just there, and there's chocolate covered strawberries, champagne, and all that. They created an experience that was worthwhile for us to pay a higher price. The question is that if you feel like you're in a commodity space, what can you do to shift the experience that your customers have that connect deeper, that go further, that step into the nice to haves? And when you do that, all of a sudden, the element of price becomes less of a priority. Anything else? Now, yeah, this is a bummer. They sent us the chocolate covered strawberries and the champagne. I don't drink anymore, and I don't eat I don't eat sugar. So they didn't. It was nice thought, but we didn't use it. Don't tell them that. Shh. So that's what I have for you. I hope this helps you as you move forward, and keep the questions coming. In the meantime, you guys have a blessed day. I've got my day ahead of me with my scans and scope and everything. And always remember to do this. Always live a life that outlives you. Bless you all. Cheers. Thank you for listening to the Affluent Entrepreneur Show with me, your host, Mel Abraham. If you want to achieve financial liberation to create an affluent lifestyle, join me in the Affluent Entrepreneur Facebook group now by going to melabraham.com/group, and I'll see you there.